Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'm Howard Feldman. We are talking about all sorts of things. One of them that we need to talk about or concerned, should be concerned about, is are we beginning our fifth wave of COVID? Professor Adrian Puren is the Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Good morning. Thanks again for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm not uncoupled. I'm here with you.
Good. That is very, very good to hear. So are we there? Are we now entering the fifth wave, or is it too soon to tell?
Well, my sense is, Howard, that maybe we need to change our narrative and just simply say we are experiencing a resurgence, Howard. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the initial stages of this, you can certainly see a marked inflection in terms of initially Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape, but now we're seeing it in all provinces. So my sense is that we should just simply, in terms of a narrative, say we are in a resurgence. I think we can call it the fifth resurgence if we wanted to. There's no official declaration yet.
Right.
And I'm not sure if they are going to start calling the fifth resurgence, but I think we are in a resurgence given.
And should we be changing our language from wave to resurgence?
I think it is important, yeah. That these are the numbers, they're increasing. It's very difficult to tell about the testing patterns. I was just looking at some of the patterns of testing in the private sectors versus the public sector. They're very different. And then looking at outpatients versus inpatients. So there are these differences, and it makes it really difficult then to say with a degree of accuracy what is actually happening. I think it's there. The trends are important. They give us an important indication around our preparedness, especially at the hospital level, in terms of hospital bed capacity, oxygen, and so forth. Those are really important, but I think it becomes very difficult to really say that this is what the epidemic is really looking like, given the nature of our not being able to always understand what it is around the testing patterns that we're currently seeing.
Right. And in terms of people becoming ill again, becoming ill now, are these people in general who have not yet had COVID, people that have had some of the earlier variants, or are we seeing people even with Omicron becoming ill again?
It's possibly a mixture of all of those, Howard. I think that a recent publication has certainly shown that individuals who may have had previous COVID, but not vaccinated, their declines in responses to antibody responses declines far more, to a greater extent, than those individuals who actually have had a vaccination. So their responses have certainly declined, but not to the same extent. So certainly vaccines are offering a degree of protection. And we hope that protection relates also to, I guess, severe disease as well. So I think the message again is coming through that your vaccination is really a key part of trying to prevent, at least an infection, and also more importantly, it's around severe infection that we really want to focus on.
People that have had Omicron and the vaccines, are you seeing them becoming infected, even if it's mildly?
Yes. I think there's evidence. So I think if we, I don't have the full picture, but you raise an important point. We'd like to see whether the reinfections are the more recent. In other words, you've had Omicron with variant BA1 and now with BA4 or 5 or BA2 versus B4 or 5. So that could be important, but we certainly are seeing reinfections.
Why does this become an Omicron variant and not a new variant or completely? Why does it still stick with the Omicron name?
It sticks with the Omicron name because the BA4, BA2, BA4, BA5 are really sublineages of the initial parent strain. So Omicron is very distinct from the beta and delta, but these sublineages that are now in circulation that are dominant and are associated with the resurgence are sublineages. They're not really distinct from and therefore not a distinct variant of concern.
And in terms of hospitalizations, what are we seeing?
So again, I think we're starting to see subtle changes around hospitalizations, but again, it's not dramatic changes that are of concern at this time. But as you know, these are lag indicators.
Right.
So again, we need to focus on that really carefully.
Right. What is the situation? I know that with the state of disaster ending, there was 30 days for people that you needed to still wear masks indoors. I believe that ends on May the 6th. Has there been any further ruling around that?
I'm not aware of that hard, but my view is that some of those non-pharmaceutical interventions, such as the wearing of masks, especially indoors with poor ventilation, larger numbers of people starting to congregate, especially indoors now that it's winter, I think I would really urge people to still have that mask wearing in place. I know that there may be subtleties that one could discuss,
right,
but I think my overall sense is that should
be. That it's smarter just to continue with indoor masking, certainly at this point. Absolutely. until the surge passes.
Sure. And manage your risks. I know that this sounds a bit nebulous, but I think even outdoors as well, you know, I know that there's a keenness because of the risks are less so outdoors, but even outdoors, again, I think you just need to assess your risks again around whether or not you should be wearing a mask.
It's interesting because I've just returned from a trip to Israel, and what I noticed there was it's almost switched in that if you saw somebody wearing a mask, it either meant that they weren't feeling well or perhaps were just recovering from COVID. In other words, it's the people that are ill or not feeling great that are masking up. And I thought that was quite interesting given where they are. They're ahead of us in terms of the fifth wave and numbers are quite down there. They don't have a requirement for indoor masking anymore. While we were there, they removed that. But it is interesting to see that the responsibility now seems to have switched to people who might be not feeling well.
Yes, I think so. But I think it's probably going to be a combination thereof, Howard. I think, you know, people are still going to assess their risks and decide, you know, in this particular setting now with the increased numbers of cases, it's probably a good idea to be wearing your mask regardless. But perhaps if, as you say, the epidemic changes or the pandemic changes in particular settings, and then obviously then one can reassess those particular risks. And yes, so if you're unwell, again, my recommendation is that you do regard some level of isolation possibly, and then take it from there. I know it differs by country.
Yes, certainly. Professor Adrian Puren, thank you, as always, Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, chatting to us about the fifth surge, and we are going to be changing that expression from fifth wave to fifth surge because it isn't quite a wave, and he's just cautioning people, be a little bit cautious, be a little bit careful at the moment until we are through this.